Howdy, this is John Ward Hanum from Fort McLeod, Alberta, telling you to tune in to the greatest singer-songwriter program on the radio today. Tell the band to go home on 101.5 UMFM.
I was young, didn't know enough, when I rode to Scotchman's Bluff with my Emily. For too many years, with no security, oh, we broke our backs with no contract in sight, didn't we? Still they try to starve us out while they increase their girth, saying no, their steel boys does not reflect our worth. Tonight we strike, boys, tonight we strike. Defend the right, hold fast and fight. For those who came before us and for those to come as well, say no to the steel boys, let them go to hell. Tonight we strike. Well, tempers are flaring and the picket lines are tense, but to go back after all this time doesn't make much sense. They're trying to break your spirit, boys. You know that that's their aim, to fill your heart with worthlessness, embarrassment, and shame. Tonight we strike, boys, tonight we strike. Defend the right, hold fast, and fight. There's power in the union and each worker here as well. Say no to the steel boys, let them go to hell. Tonight we strike. Tonight we strike, boys, tonight we strike. Defend the right, hold fast and fight. For those who came before us and for those to come as well, say no to the steel boys, let them go to hell. Tonight we strike. I know some are bound to try and putting food upon your plate, and you're willing to take what's up it here, but I'm asking you to wait. We must stay united, stand up and a man, fitting pay for a working day, we are in command. Tonight we strike, boys, tonight we strike. Defend the right, hold fast and fight. There's power in the union and each worker here as well. Say no to the steel boys, let them go to hell. Tonight we strike.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tell the Band to Go Home, UMFM's weekly singer-songwriter show. My name's Jeff, down here for the next couple of hours playing you some good tunes. You like the good tunes, don't you? Well, we got them for you, all right? Today, we're pre-recorded today. Couldn't make it live down to the studio because there's a big show going on at the Sunset Saloon today. Why aren't you there? John Ward Hanum is playing the Sunset Saloon today. You heard him off the top of the show. And so we're not here. But I wanted to put something on for those who couldn't make it out to the old saloon. And speaking of John Ward Hanum, I thought just for kicks I'd throw in the other day I was listening to an interview that I did. John Ward Hanum stopped by the studio live in 2010. And along with his pal Danny Schmidt, and they both came in here and chatted and played, and it sounded pretty good. So I figured we'd re-listen to those today. If you're not at the live show, at least you can check out some formerly live stuff, and it's pretty good. So coming up later in the show, we'll hear live sessions with Danny Schmidt and John Wardhanum. But for now, I just thought I'd throw in some new stuff and some stuff that is going on today. Well, today, you know, I'm going to try my best to convince everybody that came out to the Sunset Saloon today to come and join us again for a couple of great upcoming shows on April the 10th. At the Sunset Saloon. It's a return of our friend Shannon Lyon. It's a Friday night. Good time. 8 o'clock. Shannon Lyon. We'll play some Shannon Lyon. And also on April the 19th, we got our pal Jory Nash coming back. We're going to whip up some Heavenly Nash ice cream and have a good time on Sunday afternoon, April 19th. And both those guys have new records, so, you know, we'll do the new and the self-promotion at the same time. Here's something from Jory's latest record. It's a gooder, as always, from the many hats of Jory Nash. This is our pal Jory Nash. By the way, you can check out details of both those shows up at telltheband2gohome.com. This first song is the first song on the record. It's called Ain't Coming Home, and it features our pal O Susanna.
Driving away at the speed of the sound of the road, I'm leaving this way, 'cause I don't wanna stay here alone. You can tell all my friends that I ain't coming home. Say what you want, but I ain't coming home. Go calling the law for to break down the door. Station to station, ain't no revelation at all. Man, I need a vacation, a new destination, or a port of call. You can tell all my friends that I ain't coming home. Say what you want, but I ain't coming home. Go calling law for to break down the door. Yourself just as sure as you're born, but if you're somebody else and you've never been warned that the world don't change and the road it goes on and on. Some will believe you and some will be deceived, and this I know. Shedding some skin, 'cause I need to again just let it go. You can tell all my friends that I ain't coming home. Say what you want, but I ain't coming home. We're calling the law for to break down the door. You can tell all my friends that I ain't coming home. Say what you want, but I ain't coming home. We're calling the law for to break down the door. East of illusion and west of confusion, he lives in seclusion. She calls him the trigger man, and he carries a Luger, and he thinks he's a shooter. He's less a recruiter, more like an also-ran. I don't wanna be here, there's nothing to see here. Broken down theater, a mobile and a quick lunch stand. But I promised her one thing, and my word is worth something. Though I feel like an underling, stuck here without a plan. I know you through. She thinks that I can take care of anything, but I know he can handle me. With just a flick of a wrist and the tip of his finger, he still tries to reach her, or ever the teacher. With fire like a preacher, he's a racist with a bitter pen. And he wants evolution, and he talks retribution. But she wants absolution, or something equal in the eyes of men. She says, I know you will come through. She thinks that I can take care of anything, but I know he can handle me. With just a flick of a wrist and the tip of his finger, and whether I know if I'm ready to go, I go. Just a bird in the hand, oh no. For the sins of the father and the love of the daughter, I'm a sheep to the slaughter, sent forth to make amends. But the vultures are circling, and my phone isn't working, and he's out there lurking. Oh, God knows how this ends. I know you will come through. She thinks that I can take care of anything, but I know he will handle. Just a flick of a wrist and the tip of his finger. With just a flick of a wrist and the tip of his finger. With just a flick of a wrist and the tip of his finger.
Would you have it any other way? backseat of your car, and you walk out into the light. Yeah, you send out a message to the stars. Come on, pretty baby, won't you come and find me? Won't you come and sit with me?
A couple there from Shannon Lyon from his new Lost Creek album. You can get that on the Bandcamp, Shannon Lyon with a y.bandcamp.com. We heard Danger It Runs and Come Find Me. Good stuff there from Shannon. He decided to rock out a bit after the mostly acoustic record the lights behind last year. A couple from Jory Nash as well. He's got a brand new record called The Many Hats of Jory Nash. He is a man of many hats and many, many songs. And he'll be great when he stops in on April 19th at the Old Sunset Saloon. We heard Luger and Ain't Coming Home. Check out tellthebandtogohome.com for the details on those shows. And, of course, we're pre-recorded today because there's a show going on right now at the Old Sunset Saloon. John Ward Hanum is in. Last time he was in town was 2010. It's been almost 5 years since he was here. The last time he was here, he was touring with a guy from Austin, Texas named Danny Schmidt, who's absolutely wonderful. And John Ward and Danny stopped by the studio in September of 2010 for a great live session. And I thought we'd listen back to that. We'll start it off with Danny Schmidt. He's a wonderful, wonderful songwriter. He's got a new record coming out called Owls. But from his previous record, The Man of Many Moons, here's the title track from Danny Schmidt on Tell the Band to Go Home.
Morning shines a brand new light, a brand new light, yeah, brand new light. Every morning shines a brand new light, it's a whole new day somehow. But right now, got it all worked out, I got it all worked out, yeah, it's all worked out, right? Right now, got it all worked out, I got it all worked out, right now. Words are risky cause they last so long. They last so long, yeah, they last so long. Words are risky cause they last so long. It's like they're statues in a storm. But right now, got it all worked out. I got it all worked out, yeah, it's all worked out, right? Right now, got it all worked out, and got it all worked out right now. Sometimes I'm with you, but I'm so far gone. I'm so far gone, yeah, I'm so far gone. Sometimes I'm with you, but I'm so far gone. It's like there's glass between the sheets. Right now, got it all worked out, I got it all worked out, yeah, it's all worked out, right? Right now, got it all worked out, I got it all worked out, right now. The morning moon, she's got a sweet old voice. A sweet old voice, yeah, sweet old voice. The morning moon, she's got a sweet old voice, and she just whispers words I know. I tend to wander late. The night's so quiet, I can almost hear. I can hear the fades. I know I love you, but you know that's hard. You know that's hard, you know that's hard. I know I love you, but you know that's hard, cause I'm a man of many moons. But right now I've got it all worked out, I've got it all worked out, yeah. It's all worked out, right? Right now, I've got it all worked out. I got it all worked out right now. I got it all worked out right now. I got it all worked out right.
Pleasure to welcome all the way from Austin, Texas, Red House recording artist, Mr. Danny Schmidt. Welcome, Danny. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Winnipeg. I hope you're enjoying your stay.
I'm having a lovely time.
Now, for the folks that haven't had the pleasure of reading your bio or knowing too much about you, why don't you give us a brief bit of the backstory?
I'm from Austin, Texas, originally, which not a whole lot of folks are actually from Austin. A lot of people migrate there, especially for the music stuff. It's a very musical town. And for about probably the last 10 years, I've been dabbling in the music business for about four years. And so for 5 or 6 years, I've been doing this full time and traveling around singing songs for people.
Now, being from Austin, Texas, I mean, I'm a guy from the prairies who loves music, and there's something like there's heaven and then there's Austin, Texas. That's where the songwriters come from. So is it that place, that musical place that we make it out to be? Is it really the live music capital of the world?
Yeah, I think that's a little self-celebratory, the live music capital of the world, but for a town the size that it is, it does have an amazing amount of diversity in the music there, and an amazing number of venues, and just for whatever reason, the culture there supports that high number of venues for a town that size. So I didn't fully appreciate it till I lived elsewhere for a little while, and then I realized the vast quantity of music that was in Austin.
Now, that can sort of have two effects. It can sort of nurture you, and it can help an upcoming artist, or it can make it hard for somebody to break into that scene. I mean, if there's so many great musicians already, sometimes it's hard for somebody to get a foothold in there and get known. Is that which one of those?
Yeah, it's funny. You would think it would have some of that cutthroat element, and I've seen that in a few other towns. Nashville and LA in particular, I think, have more of a cutthroat feel. Austin just feels extremely cooperative, and there's a certain fatalism in the music business that it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
And so there's a camaraderie that forms around that. No one is really expecting to make a breakthrough, so it's more like we all glom together and support each other. And yeah, it's an extremely cooperative scene there, and a lot of collaboration. That's partly why so much good music's come out of Austin, is that there's all these weird collaborations that form and new music comes out of it.
Can you talk a bit about how you got started, or who sort of pushed you into becoming a songwriter?
It's all been by accident. I've always listened to a lot of songwriters. I was always Dylan was really important to me as an adolescent, feeling a little isolated in the world. His music was really important. Neil Young's music was important. Leonard Cohen's music was important. And I just stumbled upon actually writing myself at the point that I fell in love with a girl, and a couple songs started popping out, and I realized, oh, I can do this. I see how this works, how you write a song.
It's all because of a girl.
Yeah, it usually is.
And I mean, did you take to it naturally and automatically start pumping out the kinds of songs that you're singing today, or did your sound have to grow?
It's always evolving a little bit. Like, originally, when you first start something, you're just kind of following your instincts, and then as you start taking it more seriously, you start noticing the craft of it. You start paying closer attention and sort of deconstructing other people's songs to realize why you liked this or that and why something worked or didn't work. And so I think it got more crafted as it went. It's sort of taken an arc, actually. They started very simple and transparent, the songs did. And as I started getting up in front of people to play them, you feel a little bit vulnerable with very simple, transparent songs sometimes. And I think they took on a higher level of complexity and coding, sort of. And I think too much, maybe. I think it went a little too far that direction. And so it's been sort of coming back to appreciating a really simple, straightforward song. And so now they bounce back and forth.
Yeah, I don't hear too much simple and straightforward. Everybody that talks about you, reading your bio or talking to John or the other songwriters who've heard you talk about that craft and that complexity of your songs, you just have these amazing lyrics that just kind of, John was comparing them to an onion, not because they stink, but because there's all kinds of layers and stuff there. And once you sort of think you know the song, there's more to it than that. And so is that important to you to have sort of a real depth to the songs? I mean, I know you're saying that you're doing some of the simpler stuff as well, but...
And I think simple can have many layers as well. But yeah, the songs that always resonated with me the strongest were the ones that something was simple enough to hook me originally and keep me listening, and then there was multiple layers of depth underneath that kept me interested in that song over the years.
Yeah.
There has to be some kind of mystery or puzzle that you that the person can solve for themselves to really fully engage them in a song, I think.
And you kind of use these stories and stuff to talk about some pretty big themes and make them interesting. And you've really delved into love and religion and wealth and all kinds of interesting themes in your music and wrap them up in these wonderful songs. And, you know, it is, again, is that sort of a deliberate approach to doing things?
I just always feel like songs are a reflection of the stuff you're processing in your head and in your heart, and if you're spending a lot of time thinking on these themes, they're gonna pop out in unintentional ways in the songs. It's not like you sit down to today I will cover the topic of globalization in a song. It's more just like a couple little line ideas pop into your head, and as those grow into a story or something, you realize, oh yeah, those reflect the thoughts I've had about, because in my mind, most issues in this world are pretty complex and have different angles. They certainly do in my head. I spin around, you know, a complicated topic like globalization. It seems like the way our news services are set up nowadays, they like to really polarize everything and make it this divisive, everything has two sides and you got to come full on from one side or the other. And from my experience, things have many, many sides. And I think because that's just how I think of the world, that's kind of how it comes out in songs.
Yeah. At the same time, I was reading, you have wonderful notes on your website about your albums and stuff. And at least a couple of them in particular, you say there's sort of a theme to the record or something. Again, is that sort of an intentional thing to try and find a collection of songs that have some sort of thread running through them? Or does it just kind of work out that way because you're in that space for that period of time?
It's usually an observation after the fact. It's interesting because you know all the songs individually pretty well going into a record, but you haven't looked at them until that point as a whole body of work. But you spend a whole lot of time on the songs, you know, over the course of a couple months, and you're really very close to them.
You get to know them a little
better. And so you start seeing where the themes have arisen themselves over the stuff you've written in the last year or two.
Right.
Which is an interesting process to me.
Yeah. So you've got four records out now? Is that
five
records?
Five, and I'm working on a new one right now.
Excellent. Well, the latest one that's come out is Instead the Forest Rose to Sing, and it's out on Red House Records, like we said before. And again, do you see each record as sort of a progression? Are they getting stronger? Or are you?
I think the production's getting definitely getting stronger. I learn a little bit every time.
Yeah.
I'm in there and. The songs just are what they are. They come and make these arcs, and certain ones at different points in time I feel more connected to over time. But I think the writing hopefully has stayed at a similar level the whole while.
Yeah. And like I said before, you're getting a lot of acclaim for a lot of your writing and stuff. You've won a bunch of contests, and people are starting to notice that. Do you feel any kind of pressure or any kind of cynicism or skepticism? Sometimes, you know, when I read on a website that somebody's, compared to Leonard Cohen, and I think, like, who can be compared to Leonard Cohen, right? So there's always a bit of danger in being compared to Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan and stuff like that. Do you feel any of that? Do you worry about any of that kind of stuff?
Only in the sense of if someone's expectations of what it is that I do, if they're coming to a show or whatever, is based on you know, reviews or comments in the press that were maybe about an album that had a higher level of complexity, but artistically I'm trying to go in a different direction where you know, the stuff maybe might connect more with somebody that was into Townes Van Zandt or John Prine or something like that, and they're coming expecting Leonard. You know, the only way you're going to see Leonard Cohen is to go see Leonard Cohen. And I understand where the comparisons come from, because it helps people. I mean, all that's really saying is, here's a guy that doesn't sing very well that has a lot of words
No,
but that's part of it. And that has a lot of words that will make you think. And it puts it in the category of, this is a guy whose lyrics are what you should be paying attention to, and so that's so it helps people decide what they want to do on Friday night, you know. And that, that's about all those things are good for.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel like giving folks a sample of sure. what we're talking about here?
A couple years back when I was having some health problems, and a friend made a ring that said "This too shall pass" on it for me to kind of help me keep my head straight and inspire this one. Now, things change fast. This too shall pass. Better carve it on your forehead or tattoo it on your ass. Cause who can tell when the clock strikes 12, if today's become tomorrow, if it's all just gone to hell. My friend makes rings. She swirls and sings. She's a mystic in the sense that she's still mystified by things, but scared to ask. How can nothing seem to last? Cause like a cancer in your body, it all just goes too fast. We think too big. We think ourself is one whole thing, and we claim that this collection has a name and is a being, but deep inside, when every cell divides, well, it sets upon the rule that states self-interest is divine. And cancer, too, lives by this golden rule that you must do unto the others as the others unto you, all for the best. Cause it's all that life accepts, and so we kill it like a buffalo, with awe and with respect. God, just holler at the sky, cause she'll tell it to you plainly. In the clouds it whisper by, praise the shapes, then praise the way they change, and they'll teach you not to pray to light without you pray to rain. So I pray to hands, and I pray to knees, and I pray to blades of grass to find forgiveness in the weeds. But as for health, I just never did believe, and so I never prayed myself, except to those that prayed for me. The story goes, or the way that I was told, there was a king that always felt too high, and then he fell too low, and so he called all the wise men to the hall, and he begged them for a gift to end the rises and the falls. But here's the thing, they came back with a ring. It was simple and was plainly unbefitting of a king, engraved in black. Well, it had no front or back, but there were words around the band that said, just know this too shall pass.
Danny Schmidt there. That's a wonderful song. And obviously something that comes from a very personal place and something that was happening to you at the time and stuff. But I got to believe that a lot of people, when they hear songs like that, they sort of think, wow, that could be about me, or that could certainly touches something in their lives as well.
Yeah, you hope things generalize out to a point that people can relate to them. If they're in similar situations, or it can apply it to a lot of different stuff, you hope.
Is that sort of something that you try to make your songs like? Some people write songs that are so personal that they're clearly about them, but there's obviously sort of a universal element that people can relate to in your songs. And do you have to try to make it not quite so specifically about you?
It's really a song by song choice. Some songs really are most effective if it's just like transparently in your face. This is where I'm at right now, and people can find that touching and apply the emotional element to their own lives. And in some songs, that would just make people uncomfortable. And you really need to generalize it a little bit more. Or you're not gonna really get any listeners. You know, that's the hope, is that you really engage people with what you're doing, and different songs have to take different routes to that.
Yeah. How many years has it been that you've been writing songs seriously?
About 10 years.
About 10 years. And in that time, do you feel like you've found your voice? Do you feel confident in your songs now, or are you happy with what you're putting out there?
Yeah. And I mean, you feel more confident in certain songs than other songs, and you finish one particular one and you're like, yeah, I like that song. That's a good song. And then other ones, you're like, I don't know if I like that song or not. And that's part of what the performance is about. One is just to share it with people, but also, like, you get to know them a lot better. Not even from the response they get as much as how you feel about it when you're playing them for other ears. You really have a different perspective on it for some reason.
Do you ever bounce your songs off people? I mean, your partner is a songwriter as well, right?
Carrie Elkin. Yeah. She's another Austin singer-songwriter.
Yeah, so do you guys bounce songs off each other and give each other songwriting advice? Or are songs sort of yours and you figure out what to do with them?
She comes to me more than I come to her with it. It's just my style. It has nothing to do with our qualities or whatever. It's just I think she is a little bit more of an open person than I am. She's willing to bring stuff in process. And for me, it's in a vault in my room until I feel good about it. And usually at that point, I'm pretty attached to where I left things, but I have changed things around a little bit as need be, but.
So not a lot of co-writing going on. It's still,
No, I have never really gone through that process with anybody. I can't really imagine how it would
work. It would be very different, wouldn't it? Yeah. As far as performing and stuff goes, do you mostly just perform by yourself, or?
Yeah, largely when Carrie and I can, we will go on the road together. We're usually going different directions. But 4 or 5 times a year, we'll go out for an extended stretch together. And when we do that, we usually just swap songs back and forth and sing harmonies on each other's stuff. And I love harmonies. There's a few people that have sung a lot of harmonies with me. And every now and then I can go on the road with one of them.
Yeah.
Or else it'll just be a local show that has that. But it's a nice touch. I like the harmonies a lot.
Well, when you go to make a record, obviously you can do things that you wouldn't normally do on the road and stuff. So do you always envision things that you could add into your songs, like more harmonies or other players and stuff like that?
Yeah. And largely it's a song by song decision. Yeah. Some of the big picture stuff is sort of an album by album decision. You're like, this album is open, like a full palette where I could bring in an accordion, I could bring in a kazoo, I could bring, you know, whatever. It's kind of like, we'll put on what the songs want. Other albums, you kind of want to limit the palette. You'll say, this one's just going to be, like the one that I'm working on now is just going to be me and the guitar, stand-up bass, harmonies, and a little bit of second guitar. And we really kind of committed to the idea of keeping a very tight palette and having it be fairly naked stuff.
As that's coming along, do you know when that album's going to come out, or do they have to sort of come along organically?
I'm going to finish it up as soon as I've got most of it finished. I'm going to finish it up as soon as I get home, at about the middle of October. And then the record label's going to hold on to it until after New Year's. So it kind of hits that dead period starting in about November 1st. They don't do anything in the music business.
And that'll be out on Red House again?
It will.
Red House is just one of our favorite labels here. There's just so many great artists. I mean, the Winnipeg has the Waylon Jennies there on the label, and Greg Brown and the Pines and Pieta and all kinds of. There's just so much wonderful stuff on there. How did you get wrapped up with Red House, and how has that sort of nurtured you?
We first met each other, me and some of the Red House folks, at a festival, and first off, that strikes you is they're just really good folks, and they're in it for the right reasons. They love music, and they think they have their dream job that they get to talk about their favorite music all the time to people and spread it. Yeah. And that meant a lot to me. I wanted a label that was the underlying feeling of the whole place. And they have some of my favorite artists. I was, as soon as I started writing, it was right about the time that I got into Greg Brown's stuff. And he was sort of one of my first favorite contemporary singer-songwriters. And so I'd always had my eye on Red House. So I was thrilled when they took an interest in what I was doing. And then the personal connection was there, so it just seemed right.
And when you sign with a label that has such great artists and stuff, does that sort of open doors for you? Does that give you a new stature to go out and do shows or get your name out there?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's just tangible, like the actual network of of friends that they have. And, you know, I can call them up and say, I see that Gorka's going to be on the East Coast same time I'm going to be on the East Coast. I'd love to connect with him. And and then pretty soon I know John Gorka and I'm friends with him and all the folks on the label. And they, it really is a family atmosphere. They're very supportive of each other. And so, yeah, that's opened a lot of doors, and just, it's a stamp of approval from a very legitimized source. And that, makes those festival artistic directors open up the package when it shows up on their desk, along with the 50 other ones they got that week.
Well, I got to believe it's working out. I mean, you're getting your CD in more hands than you ever have before.
And, yeah, it's been nice.
Getting some nice press and stuff like that. Do you mind doing another song?
Yeah. Let me, this is a new one. pardon my froggy voice. This one's just about not letting anybody tell you what your limitations ought to be. Know thy place and know thy part. Know it by name, know it by face, and know it by heart. And don't look up, 'cause it's a long ways down.